Hi, this is Mike Miller, and you're with me on the Harmony Street Show. This week, my guest will be Charlie Thomas of the Drifters. But before I hook up with Charlie, I want to give you some background on the early origins of the Drifters. In the beginning, during the early 50s, Clyde McFatter had his group, and he was singing lead for Billy Ward and the Dominoes. One night, they were supposed to go to the Apollo Theater. Ahmet Erdogan, who was the biggest record producer, started this whole R&B group thing. Ahmet was the president of Atlantic Records, and later to become the first president of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Ahmet went to see Billy Ward and the Dominoes at the Apollo Theater, and Clyde McFatter was not there. And he immediately raced around the neighborhood looking actually from bar to bar for Clyde. And when he found him, he made an agreement with Clyde that he would assemble his own group. And they became known as the Drifters. And Ahmet wanted to blend gospel and secular sounds. And their first effort was to get a group called the Mount Lebanon Singers. Now, the first group really didn't work out. And Ahmet really didn't like the combination. The second effort comprised a group of gospel vocalists as well, with Gerhard Thrasher and Andrew Thrasher, Bill Pinkney from the Jerusalem Stars, Willie Ferby, and Walter Adams on guitar. Now, they went into the studio and actually had a big hit with Money Honey. At that point, Clyde was demanding a pretty big share of the cut, because when he was with the Dominoes, he wasn't getting his just due. So he wanted a little more money, and I guess Clyde got a little disenchanted, and he sold his share of the group to George Treadwell, who was a manager and the former jazz trumpeter and actually the husband of singer Sarah Vaughan. I think Clyde later regretted his decision, but the Drifters at this point moved on. Well, at that point, there were a lot of name changes in the Drifters, and it seemed that George Treadwell was having a lot of trouble keeping these guys happy. So there were guys coming and going and leaving the group, but still having some success on the charts. Now, at this point, Treadwell owned the rights to the name The Drifters, and he still had a year's worth of bookings. And actually, some of them were for the Apollo, and he fired the group. He then approached Lover Patterson, the manager of the Five Crowns. And the Five Crowns featured Benny Nelson, better known as Benny King. And the new lineup consisted of Charlie Thomas, Doc Green, Ellsbury Hobbs, and James Papa Clark. Now, this new lineup is widely considered the true golden age of the Drifters. And most of the singles released by the Drifters at that time were the ones that we know and love. As a matter of fact, There Goes My Baby was the first with that group. And believe it or not, they introduced the string orchestra to this type of commercial rock and roll. With all that being said, throughout all those years of the golden age of the Drifters, there's one guy that stands out above the rest. He was there throughout and sang lead or backup on most of the tunes that the Drifters had during their golden age. He's the one that still carries the torch for the Drifters. It's my pleasure to introduce to you an R&B legend on the Harmony Street Show, Mr. Charlie Thomas. How you doing, Charlie?
I'm doing quite well, Mike. Then I hear your voice.
Thanks. Let me just get started and ask you some of the basic questions. How did you get started singing, Charlie? That was a long time ago.
My father gave me the voice, and my mother trained me, and I came up to New York City when I was young, around about 11 years old. And
where in New York were you?
Harlem.
You were right smack dab in the middle of everything, Harlem. Wow.
Uptown USA, Harlem. My school was right behind the Apollo Theater.
Oh, wow. So you saw them coming and going.
I saw them coming and going. The Spitz, the Long Limousine, Louis Armstrong, Sammy
wow.
Davis Jr., which was he helped me to get into the show business there too.
Unbelievable.
It's a long story, but he gave me a good hand of show business.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I've heard you do some Louis Armstrong stuff on stage, because I've worked with you on stage, so I'm sure that's where that came from. It's heartfelt.
Yeah, it comes it comes from the parlor. I mean, it was the school of knowledge of songs, of singing, of entertaining, and so far on. And some of the best helped me, Coles and Atkins, and Lionel Hampton's band, Reuben Phillips' band. I had a lot of them back up. Even that Cole even gave me a little bit of...
Unbelievable. So what was your first group that really had any credence? I know you probably sang with a lot of people on the street corner and harmonized a lot when you were a kid, but which was the first one that really came together for you?
It was the Five Crowns.
Right. And as a matter of fact, the Five Crowns had an awful lot of talent in that group. Just about everybody had the ability to sing lead at that point.
Yeah. Benny King was with me. Ellsbury Hobbs, Doc Green, Papa Clark.
Right. Well,
one of the Hop Tones used to be there. Clark's brother used to be with the Five Crowns at one time. He used to go back and forth from the Hop Tones to the Five Crowns.
Well, I have a tune called "Kiss and Make Up," and if I'm correct, you're the lead on that tune. A lot of the guys that are on the radio, they're really not sure who's saying what, and it's always a mystery. And I've had discussions with people, and I tell them, that's Charlie Thomas on that record. And they say, no, it's not. Now I'm going to tell them for sure, because people are going to hear it right from your voice.
Thank you for the defense, Mike.
Absolutely. I mean, you know.
A lot of radio jocks say, this is Benny King, this is Rudy Lewis, you know.
No, I understand how that works, you know. So one time you actually worked in the Garment District.
Oh, yeah. When I first came to New York City, I needed a job. They had my mother and father. I worked in the Garment District down on around 34th and 33rd, 36th, 38th Street there.
Right.
I worked for about a couple of years. I had a job in the novelty factory, too.
Uh-huh.
I used to be a picker of coats and dresses and everything, but the job that I had was with novelty of Mr. Marius. He was the perfect gentleman in my life. He gave me the job, and he showed me how to shirt and tie myself, and I just keep on a clean shirt and tie. He's a nice Jewish man, and he says, it don't matter about your pants. He says, just keep your shoes shine.
It makes me laugh because
I keep it a white shirt and a tie.
I think about the drifters, and then I say to myself, well, you're the drifter, and I'm the wandering Jew. It makes me laugh. So here you are with the Crowns. Let me tell you that it would probably take 3 or 4 hours to explain the entire history of the Drifters and how they came to be. I mean, people know that Clyde McFadder, the group was built around him and whatever. But basically, for the real solid years, it was the Crowns who stepped into that position with the Drifters and had the real solid hits.
Don't go.
Please stay.
Don't go.
Please stay.
If I got on my knees and I plead with you not to go but to stay in my arms, would you walk out the door like you did once before? Would this time be different? Would you stay?
Don't go.
Please stay.
Don't go.
If I call out your name like a prayer tonight, would you leave me alone with my tears, knowing I need your soul? Would you still turn and go? Would this time be different in some way?
Don't go.
Please stay.
Don't go.
You took me away from the rest of the world when you taught me to love you like this. Now I hang my thread in the canyon of doom, but I still can be saved by your kiss. If I got on my knees and I pleaded with you not to go but to stay in my arms, would you walk out the door like you did once before? Would this time be different? Would you stay?
Don't go.
Please stay.
Don't go.
Please stay.
Don't go.
Hey, Senorita is yours also.
Yeah, right.
I know that tune very, very well.
Dip, 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 dip. Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum. Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum. Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum. Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum.
Hey, little girl, you look so fine.
Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum.
My dear, hey, little girl, I wanna you be mine.
Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum.
My dear, hey, Senorita, I love this song.
Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum.
How much you'll never, ever know.
Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum.
We could have a real good time. Say, Senorita, let you be mine. Oh, yeah. See, see, see. Come, Senorita, come, give me a kiss.
Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum.
And I've never, ever felt like this.
Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum.
You think of all the love and tender we have missed.
Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum.
And I've never, ever felt like this.
Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum.
We could have a real good time. Say, Senorita, better you be mine. Oh, yeah.
Dum, dee, da, dum, dum, dum.
Hey, little girl, they fall into my arms.
Dum, dee, dee, da, dum, dum.
Yeah, I see your hands, Senorita, feel my charm.
Dum, dee, dee, da, dum, dum, dum.
Hey, Senorita, with your lips red.
Dum, dee, dee, da,
And then, because I'm a little bit of a historian myself, with all of the politicking that went on and all of the who's who and what's what, it never mattered because Charlie Thomas was always there no matter who was there. And that I remember very, very distinctly.
Oh, yeah. Well, I got drifters in my heart.
Well,
I know where I come from. I know what I did. And me and God, we did a good job of
right.
it. And the public that helped me through the years, I'm grateful and I love them too, you know. So
well,
I'm still hoping that I can keep on carrying on in the name of God. And I bless all my friends for helping me. And I throw big kisses to them. I throw my prayers to them because they've been marvelous to me too.
I did a show once years ago, and I'm talking about during the mid-70s, and it was at Carmine's Copa, the Brooklyn Copa, and we were there the week after a group that was a Drifters group, and I remember the guys on stage saying in the middle of the show, beware of phony Drifters. I was just wondering at that point whether it was you or whether it was another group at that time, but this was way, way back, probably about 40 years ago.
Yeah, well, 40 years ago, I was with Drifters,
right?
But I was with the Orioles for a while, and then
right.
the Crown. Well, you say 40 years ago, I think back there was my baby come out way back.
Right. When people think of all the hits that came from the Drifters, I mean, really, it's a catalog that's as big as any catalog in music history, and also written by the greats in music writing. So you guys had fantastic writers as well.
Oh, yes, we did. Stan Applebaum, Lee Ringstroller, Carol King, Jerry Gotham, Dionne Warwick, the Warwick sisters, they wrote for us.
Right.
Even Doc Thomas and Schumann, we had
right.
great writers.
Well, you know, I sang, you're going to be doing okay. a show with George Galfo's Mystics coming up in Rhode Island, which is going to be Riding the Satellites, Charlie Thomas's Drifters, and the Mystics with Phil Krakalisi and George Galfo. I sang with George Galfo's Mystics for a good many years at that time, and of course Doc Pomus wrote the Mystics hit, which was Hushabye at that time. So Doc got around.
Yeah, Doc did, and in his wheelchair, he really did get around. That's the truth.
Well, I understand, and most people don't know this story, that supposedly, you know, people don't know that Doc was in a wheelchair, and he wrote Save the Last Dance for Me, about his honey, because when he would go out with her, you know, he couldn't dance. So she would dance with other people, and he wrote a tune called Save the Last Dance for Me, and that was the inspiration for that, believe it or not.
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye, let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand beneath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Oh, I know.
Oh, I know.
Let the music's
yes,
fine like sparkling
oh,
wine. Go and have your
yes,
fun.
Oh, I know.
Laugh and sing.
Yes, I know.
But while we're
oh,
apart, don't give your heart to anyone.
Oh,
but don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Baby, don't you know I love you so? Can't you feel it when we touch? I will never, never let you go. I love you oh so much. You can dance,
you can dance.
Go and carry
you
on
dance.
Till the night is gone
dance.
And it's time to
you
go
can dance. You can dance.
If he asks
you can dance.
If you're all
you
alone
can,
can he take you,
you
home
dance.
You must tell him no. Cause don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Cause don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me. Say the last dance for me. Say the last dance for me.
Yeah, he wrote a lot of songs for the Gibsons, I mean, Marty Schumann.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Could I be in Rhode Island? I got the key to Rhode Island.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is going to be a show at the end of May. And, you know, it should be a great show. Now, I worked with you years ago in Connecticut when I had my group Harmony Street with the three girls. And we had a lot of fun. And I have a little story about that. That night, we took a whole bunch of pictures, and my keyboard player, Larry, was in the men's room when we took the pictures, and he made such a fuss that we came out and we took all the pictures over again, believe it or not. And there was one picture that really came out the best, and years later, I photo-painted him into the picture, you know, because you can do that now on a computer. Because he was so mad that he didn't get a chance to be in that picture. It was funny. For years, he said to me, why didn't you go get me?
Yeah.
You had, at that time, the lineup, you had Ruffin in the group at that time, and I think it was a little bit of a different group.
Oh, yeah, that was a different group then.
Yep.
It was just started of them, and a lot of them went on to better things.
Well, you know, and I always wondered whether Ruffin was related to the Ruffin brothers.
Oh, no, he wasn't related to the Ruffin brothers.
Yeah, but he had a good name.
he had the Ruffin name, but yeah, he wasn't related to either one of them.
Yeah, well, you know, as a matter of fact, if I remember correctly, Sissy Houston, who I've done some vocals with, and Dee Dee Warwick, and Dionne Warwick actually were on some studio cuts with you guys and sang some backup vocals.
Yeah, she were the Warwick sister was mostly the backup singer for a whole lot of singers.
Right.
Not only Richard and King Coleman also played saxophone for
right.
a whole lot of singers.
Well, you know, and as I say, and you know, we can get into this in a couple of minutes. When people remember the Drifters and go to a show, they remember the Drifters. They remember the song. They want to go back there and whatever. But I know that for the guys that worked with Treadwell, and they all worked very hard, and probably it wasn't a great time at times because there was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And, of course, I don't know much about that. I only know what you tell me.
Yeah, well, I can understand that. I mean, a young man talking to an elder man.
Yep. Well,
you know,
I'm only 64. I'm a puppy.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's about it. I'm up in that 70s rack. I'm 75.
Wow.
I've been with the Jutas for 54 years.
Wow, and still going strong. So, actually, Charlie Thomas has been with the Drifters through all of the Solid Gold years and was on most of the recordings, probably 80 or 90% of the recordings, and probably the last living representation of whatever the Drifters had to offer.
Yeah, well, that's where I found my love at, and that's where I've been at, you know. So as the modern music today asked me to drop my pants down and blow my knees, I tell them no thank you.
Right. No, I hear you.
The young kids should pull the britches up.
Right. Well, you're in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
The Voice Hall of Fame, the Rock right. and Roll Hall of Fame is true.
Well, that's a very select group of people. As a matter of fact, a good friend of mine who I interviewed last week is Terry Stewart, who's the CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and I've had the pleasure of spending time with him, and he's a great guy.
Hi, this is Terry Stewart, CEO of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio, and you're listening to my good friend Mike Miller on one of my favorite shows, the Harmony Street Show.
A lot of people get annoyed at him because they say there were groups that should be in there and are not, and groups that are there that shouldn't be there. So, I mean, he told me that he only gets one vote.
Yeah.
So it's tough.
It's true. Armin and Erdogan was the president. He was the president
right.
of Atlantic Records. And
that's right.
He became the president of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Well,
he passed on.
As a matter of fact, I remember when Benny King Jr. was working up at Atlantic, and I used to go up and see him then, and that was even a long time ago. You know, things have changed.
Hi, I'm Cleveland Still of the Doves, and I'm here with my good friend, Mike Miller, of the Harmony Street Show.
So you must have worked in just about every country on the planet, Charlie.
I made my moves. I work with the best, too. I've been almost everywhere, and praise the Lord, I've been across the globe.
Well, you know, one of the things that I remember very vividly, and a lot of people remember, when they started with the whole Truth in Rock Act and they started to go after groups that were pretending to be the name groups and not, everyone remembers seeing that clip with John Stossel when Charlie Thomas went over to the group that claimed to be the Drifters with the record album, and you went right over to the group and you said, would you sign the album for me? And the guy signed right over your name, and you said, excuse me, would you please tell me where is your picture on this album? And then when one of the guys recognized you, they ran away and locked themselves in their trailer and wouldn't come out.
Yeah, I bless John for that. John told me, said, don't have no fear, Charlie, said, this is your moment. And every night I just pray for John for that shot that he gave me. It was a beautiful shot. He's a lovely gentleman, and I still say God bless him. I praise him always.
Flattery or theft? And if it is stealing, shouldn't someone say enough?
The doo-wop era of the 50s and 60s gave us so many famous groups. The Coasters. The Platters. Drifters.
I won't be there. I'm a star on Broadway.
And here the Ellsbury Hobbs Drifters are performing the same song a few months ago. But wait a second. These guys don't look old enough to have bought that record, let alone to have recorded it. Well, maybe this guy, but not the others. What's going on here?
What's been going on nationwide and here in Tennessee is really a sophisticated form of identity theft.
That's John Bauman of the Truth in Music Committee at the Vocal Group Hall of Fame. If he looks familiar, it's because he's Bowser, ex-leader of Sha Na Na. He now travels America lobbying politicians because he's mad that groups like these profit from the work of musicians who were the real platters, coasters, drifters.
There are more than 100 fake platters groups?
There are as many as are needed on any given night.
Just recruit a bunch of new people.
Stick some people up on stage, pay them a couple hundred bucks a night, and presto chango, bingo, they're the platters.
ABC once taped such tryouts. They're auditioning to become new versions of the coasters, platters, and drifters.
There's no accident that those are the victims, because how many hit records do those three groups have? Well over 100 hit records.
Many of the original drifters, coasters, and platters have died. But others, like Charlie Thomas, and Benny King,
this magic moment,
still perform.
It's so different and so new. Looks like any other.
This magic moment.
Ben and Charlie say, with so many fake drifters like these performing, it's harder to make money.
Does this take jobs away from you?
Oh, yeah. It takes jobs.
People think they're getting the real deal.
Yeah, and they be getting the phonies.
People are stealing their gigs. Consequently, they're stealing their money. And what's even more cloying, they're stealing their applause.
You guys had enormous hits.
Mm. Oh, man.
So you must be rich.
I wish I could find the money.
In those days, many singers, white and black, were paid little. Sometimes promoters gave them nothing, claiming their expenses were more than their salaries.
They add on all the expenses before you know it, you're in debt.
The imposters get away with pretending to be drifters, says Maxine Porter, because few people know what the real musicians looked like.
Dance with me.
Often at these concerts, there are a bunch of young guys who obviously aren't the real deal, but then there's one older person.
Oh, yes. So that the audience can say, that's got to be the original guy. He's the real one.
But he's a fake, too.
Absolutely.
John Bauman, has persuaded 18 states to require groups that call themselves a famous group to have at least one member who actually sang on the original record.
Or you can say, we're completely fake. This is a tribute to the platters, the drifters.
And that's absolutely fine. Tribute shows are perfectly valid.
But this is no tribute show. Its promoter, Charles Malik, and his business partner, Larry Marshak, wouldn't talk to me about this, so their lawyer, William Sharon, did. He's helping them fight the court ban that prevents the promoters from using the drifter's name.
The public is not paying to see 70 and 80-year-old guys on stage. They're paying to see some fun entertainment.
Then call them fun entertainment, not the drifters.
They're not called the drifters. They're called the Ellsbury Hobbs drifters.
But Ellsbury Hobbs isn't there.
That's right. He's one of the ones who has died.
Isn't it despicable what you guys are doing? You have these real musicians who can't make as much money because your phonies are raking in the money.
Nobody's stopping them from working. If the public wants
to pay... you're stopping them from making the money they could make.
Absolutely not.
You don't think people in the audience think they're seeing the original artists?
No. They're not turning around and marching out as appalled that they don't see original members in their 70s or 80s.
Because they don't know.
Of course they know.
You're just helping cheaters cheat.
Absolutely not.
And so the groups keep performing. So we invited Charlie Thomas to this performance of the Drifters. None of these men ever performed in any of the Drifters' hits. Charlie sat in the audience, stewing. By the time the first act finished, it was dark. One of the more outrageous parts of these acts is that the musicians sign autographs. So we gave Charlie one of the few Drifters albums that did have his picture on it, and he set out to get some autographs.
Give me an autograph. Give me an autograph. Which one is that for you? Which one is that for you right there?
Two guys sign his album. He wrote his own name right above Charlie's face. The other scribbled something we couldn't read.
Sign an autograph, man. Let's sign an autograph.
But then one musician notices.
Give me my money.
Charlie was getting madder by the minute. So he went up on stage. He told them, stop this.
Gotta stop this. Gotta stop this. Hey, man. Man, business. Man, business.
And with the real drifter there, the musicians decide they won't sing. One of the men who hired the fakes that night, he didn't know they were fakes, gets Charlie to back off.
You know you ain't right, dude.
After the concert, the singers locked themselves in this trailer. They wouldn't come out to face Charlie, who speaks for all musicians who've been cheated, when he says,
I had enough.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, John Stossel really sticks up for people. A good friend of mine, because I was a dean in a junior high school in the Bronx, and I had Jimmy Key's kids, and I had Jimmy Jr. and Paul Jr., and I used to tell Jimmy and Paul, your father is a legend. And they were fairly young, because he had had them a little late in life, and they didn't understand, really, who and what their father was. But the reason I say this is that Jimmy used to come to career day at my school and tell them how tough it was for the chords and the drifters and the platters, who people just swooned to their music in those days and made love to their music. But after the show, the group had to go eat on the bus, and the rest of the people went and ate in the restaurant. He said, and that was a tough part. And Herb Reed has told me this story, too. And he said, and the other part was, where did all the money go? Where did the money go?
It went on most of the managers, Cadillacs and their champagne and their tuxedos.
Yeah.
You know, because we didn't see none of it. But the thing it was that with me is that I just put my life in God's hand, and he let me travel around. I wasn't worried too much about money. You
right.
know, I just wanted to see creating of God's world and the friends that he brought in front of me to meet. And he did a marvelous job and gave me some beautiful friends, like you, for instance.
Well, you know, I've been on stage with you a bunch of times. As a matter of fact, I was on stage with you at the Broward Center about 4 or 5 years ago when I was singing with the Mystics. And the one thing about Charlie is that you smile from the minute you start walking out on stage until the minute you leave. Your smile lights up the entire place. And, you know, you're pretty much the focal point. And the way that you speak to the audience, I think that's heaven sent also, because you really believe in what you sing and you believe in what you say. And the audience catches that right away.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you so much.
Well, let me ask you this. For all the tunes that you've recorded, what's your favorite Drifters tune?
All of them.
All,
all of them, Mike, believe me, dear.
That's great.
All of them, they memories, each and every one of them is memories.
Sweet summer sweet.
I'll ask you.
much more than I could take. And if I saw a tear fall from your eye, darling, don't you know that I would die to
me. me closer, closer and closer, much closer. While the music swings, oh, my little darling, won't you dance with me? Oh, hold me tighter, tighter and tighter, much tighter. While the rhythm sways, put your lips to mine. While the rhythm sways, we're no longer strangers. Now we're more than friends. So dance with me. Dance with me closer, closer and closer. And maybe we'll be lovers when the music ends.
Dance.
Hi, this is Clarence Collins of Little Anthony and the Imperials, and you're listening to Mike Miller. Hi, this is Clarence Collins of Little Anthony and the Imperials, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show. Hi, this is Clarence Collins of Little Anthony and the Imperials, and you're listening to Mike Miller on the Harmony Street Show. I love you, Mike Miller.
Well, I'm looking for my girl. I wonder where can she be?
Wonder where can she be?
Well, I'm looking for my girl. I wonder where did she go? Yes, I'm looking for my girl. I wonder where did she go? Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, she's somewhere where
can she be? Hi, this is Earl Speedo Carroll of the Cadillacs, and you're listening to my good friend, Mike Miller, on the Harmony Street Show.
When this whole world starts getting me down, and people are just too much for me to face, I climb way up to the top of the stairs, and all my cares just drift right into space. On the roof is peaceful and I go up where the air is fresh and sweet.
On the moon.
I get away from the hustling crowd and all that rat race noise down in the street.
On the
moon, the only place I know. On the roof.
Up on the
roof. At night the stars put on a show for free. And darling, you can share it all with me. Keep a-telling you right smack dab in the middle of town. I found a barrel that has trouble
through.
And if this world starts getting you down, there's room enough for two up on the roof. Up on the roof.
Up on the roof.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, you've probably been, you know, you spent your whole life doing this. And, you know, I'll tell you, because I've been in different groups and I've been in different relationships and everything. And if you don't have people around you that support what you do, it's very hard to do what you do, because most people understand or do not understand how somebody, you know, can just go on stage and go on the road every night and go to rehearsal, and it's in their blood, and it becomes who they are. And if the person with them doesn't understand that, it's hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, entertainment it's a job. I mean, it's not 8 hours, but it's a job. I mean, it's not as easy as some people think it is to become a star, become idol in people's life. You know, you got to do a whole lot of work to it, a whole lot of things you got to do. Which you shouldn't do. I mean, I was taught at the Apollo Theater to never turn your back on the audience.
Right.
You know, that's number one. They told me that.
Right.
Satchmo taught me that.
Right. Because you know, and you always got to have that one guy in the group that can turn around and talk to the band leader or whatever, or call the shots or whatever. You're absolutely right.
I do. I have a Jack Colombo. He's a terrific man. He comes from Boston, Massachusetts.
Right.
Way back Providence.
Yeah.
He's tremendous. Yeah. I mean, he's a medium, and to listen to him, he's a tremendous gentleman, and I'm glad he's a part of my life.
I think that when we did the show in Connecticut together, when I had the Harmony Street group, I think you were living in Boston at that time. Am I right?
Yeah, most likely at Cambridge.
Yeah, that's right, because I remember, because I had spoken to you on the phone a bunch of times, and I remember it was a Boston number.
All you have to do is touch my hand to show me you understand, and something happens to me that's some kind of wonderful. Anytime my little world sees blue, I just have to look at you, and everything seems to be some kind of wonderful. I know I can't express this feeling of tenderness. There's so much I want to say, but the right words just don't come my way. I just know when I'm in your embrace, this world is a happy place. And something happens to me. There's some kind of wonderful.
just don't come out. I just know when I'm in your embrace, ooh, this world is a happy place. And something happens to me, that's some kind of wonderful, some kind of sweetness, some kind of warm eyes, some kind of soft sight. Lord, it's some kind of wonderful.
Tell me about the tune Only in America. That was your tune originally. That was the Drifters tune, correct?
Originally it was, along with me and Rudolph Lewis, Doc Green, Elsberg Hobbs. It was hard times. They say it was hard times, but right. we recorded this song.
Right.
We didn't put it out. They gave the song to Jay and America, Jay and America.
Only in America can a guy from anywhere go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire. Only in America can a kid without a cent get a break and maybe grow up to be president. Only in America would a classy girl like you fall for a poor boy like me? Only in America can a kid who's washing cars take a giant step and reach right up and touch the stars. Only in America will a dream like this come true. Could a guy like me start with nothing and end up with you?
I understand, and you know, it's funny. I think most people don't realize how many tunes you recorded that were not in the top 10 and were some of the beautiful standards that we have that the Drifters recorded. You know, people have that, 25 or 30 or 40 or 50 tunes that were in the top 100, but my goodness. You guys made so many recordings. I mean, it was just unbelievable. If you go and you search to see how many tunes the Drifters recorded, they're in the hundreds and hundreds.
Every time my baby and I have a quarrel, I swear I won't give in. Then my baby starts to smile at me. I know, I just can't win. When my little girl is smiling, there's nothing more I can say. Take it down when my
It's
but they had so many beautiful lead singers.
Oh yeah, well you know it's true that they were lucky over the years.
It was the very first group that recorded rhythm and blues with violin string.
Right,
so
right.
It was my baby.
I did hear about that. Now, Charlie, tell me about Benny King, because I know you spent so many years with him, and he did a whole bunch of leads for the Drifters. It must have been exciting working with him.
Benny always has been a great singer. You know, he's been a great man and a great performer.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I couldn't take that away from him. And I'm not just talking because he's my close friend, but he's a professional in his job, and I know that.
Right.
A lot of people can tell you that too. To most of the songs he wrote and recorded. So,
right.
I mean,
because
some kind of singing of it.
Yeah, somebody had said to me that there was some kind of contract dispute, and even though he was allowed to record it one time, that he couldn't go, he wasn't going out on the road, and actually that you were singing a lot of his leads. So.
Yeah, I was, but yeah. I mean, they didn't meet his agreement. I mean, quite naturally, he didn't want them to be running over top of him. I mean,
right.
He picked him to be a lead singer for Stand By Me and everything else.
Right.
I mean, he didn't want to be taken advantage of. Like you said,
Managers
just take everything from the entertainers.
No.
And that's the time that he was bounced up in, you know what
no.
I mean? So he kind of wiggled his way on through it, you know.
Tell me about Clyde McFadder. As a matter of fact, I'm friendly with Ron McFadder, who is the son of Ruth Brown and Clyde McFadder, and you know, I've spoken to Ron a little bit. What a great lineage of singers have sung under the Drifter's name. I mean, every one of them was a superstar, yourself included.
Well, if it wasn't for Clyde McFadder, it wouldn't be me. Clyde discovered it. Him and Bill King, they discovered the name The Drifters. It wasn't Treadwell. They took the name to Treadwell.
Right.
You know, and Treadwell bought into it. I mean, back in them days, he was doing everything. But Clyde was the man of The Drifters. He came out of the Diamond Dogs.
Right.
If I have to say anything to his son, I would say he should be proud of his dad.
Oh, he sure is.
Yeah, his dad was tremendous, and he made a way for a whole lot of entertainers.
Absolutely. Well, yeah.
You know the landlord rang my front door bell. I let him ring for a long, long spell. I went to the window and peeked through the blind and asked him to tell me what was on his mind. He said, "But honey, yes. But honey, but honey, if you want to stay here with me, I was clean as green and so hard pressed. I called the woman that I love best. I finally got my baby by the 3:30. She said, I'd like to know what you want with me. I said, if you want to get along with me." She screamed and said, "What's wrong with you? From this day on our romance is through." I said, "Tell me, baby, face to face, how could another man take my place?" She said,
"Oh, Actually, his son was the one that Ron McFadder played the lead singer of the Platters in the movie about Frankie Lymon, the one with Halle Berry.
Yeah.
So, you know, Ron's been doing his thing. And what he does is he actually goes, in his show, he actually does a medley of Drifter's tunes, and he does some of his father's tunes, and then he does some of his tunes. So it really works. And believe it or not, you know, he sounds and looks like his father up there. It's really amazing if you haven't seen him. Probably you'll cross paths with him at one point along the way. He's a really good kid.
Yeah. Okay. I'm against him. He did a great job in the movie, too. I saw the movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, there was one moment when Halle Berry looks into his eyes and the Platters, you know, like getting to the end of a tune, and they, you know, Platters always did this big ta-da, you know, at the end of the song, and she kind of looks into his eyes. And I said, you know, how did that feel, Ron, getting that that hungry look from Halle Berry? He said, yeah, that was a great moment.
Hey, man, wish it was me.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you did a lot of work on stage with Tony Williams, and you know, over the years that you shared the stage with the Platters.
Oh, yeah, I've sung with Tony quite a many a time.
Yep.
Matter of fact, before Tony passed on, I was saying goodbye to him up in Connecticut. And
wow.
I got my fingers mashed in the door. Somebody going out the door, and I had my fingers in the door. And mashed my fingers. That was just before Tony passed on.
Man.
In the room sitting and talking, I decided to get up because the gentleman came into the room. When I got up, the door just came onto my fingers.
Wow. Unbelievable. So they had to run you over to the emergency room?
they just took me over, and they just looked at it and bandaged it up and everything. It was okay. I still have my fingers with God's blessing.
Oh, when the sun beats down and burns the tar up on the roof, and your shoes get so hot, you wish your tired feet were fireproof. Under the boardwalk, down by the sea, yeah. On a blanket with my baby's where I'll be.
Under the boardwalk,
out of the sun.
Under the boardwalk,
having some fun.
Under the boardwalk,
people walking above.
Under the boardwalk,
we'll be falling in love.
Under the boardwalk.
On the park, hear the happy sounds of a carousel. You can almost taste the hot dogs and french fries they sell. On a blanket with my baby is where I'll be.
Under the boardwalk,
out of the sun.
Under the boardwalk,
we'll be having some fun.
Under the boardwalk,
people walking above.
Under the boardwalk,
we'll be falling in love.
Under the boardwalk, boardwalk.
On a blanket with my baby's where I'll be.
Hey, listen, you know, when I talk to people and they tell me about, you know, doing shows for Murray the K and doing shows at the Brooklyn Fox and the Paramount, and they said, oh, you know. You
know, man, yes, sir.
You don't.
That's where me and my friend Kenny used to hang out at the Brooklyn Fox and the Paramount.
I went to every show, man. And as a matter of fact, everybody in the audience smoked in those days. So when you were on stage, everybody in the place was smoking cigarettes because everybody in the house smoked.
Yeah, they were smoking cigarettes and everything else. I just left it back in them days, you know.
Well, yeah, I spoke to Anthony. I said,
they didn't like you too. They would throw a whole lot of stuff up on the stage to you.
I said to Anthony, I says, man, didn't the smoke bother you? He says, are you kidding me, man? I used to put out a cigarette on the bottom of my shoe just before I walked out on stage. He said, we were all smoking. Are you kidding?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was smoking then. I said, but I didn't get too much of it, into it too much.
You know, it's funny.
I hated it, but when I first started, I liked it because I used to hide it from my family.
Uh-huh.
You know? I was smoking, and I was smoking in front of their face. It didn't taste like it used to be.
Nah, you know, we all did that. And what's funny, too, is, you know, when you hear them tell the stories about really what it's like backstage, nobody really knows what it's like backstage unless they've been there. They said, you don't hear the stories about Jackie Wilson falling into the orchestra pit, that he did a turn and, like, went into the bass drum. You don't hear those stories because people don't talk about it. Only the guys that were there really know.
Yeah, that's why they call him Mr. Excitement.
Well, and I'm sure you also run into, when you work from town to town and you bring your charts, you never know who you're going to run into. So, you know, every night is a different sound guy. Every night is a different band. And even though you bring your band leader, when the guys in the band say that, you know, we want the charts ahead of time, they don't open them up until you get there at sound check.
most of the guys now, they played with me when they was real, real young.
Right.
You know, and just grew up and got married and got gray-headed. I mean, most of the young fellas, they're still here with me, and they've moved into my groove, and sometimes I don't even need music. I just jump on the stage and they know my music now.
No, I hear you. Well, it's like Curly, you know, that play guitar with the Coasters. I mean, he's with them. He was there at the beginning, and he's there with them now. They got to help him up on stage, but he still plays with them.
Yeah, he's still there. He got that feel. Curly's magnificent. Curly knows music. He used to be, we grew together, in other words. He used to be like a leader for me.
Right, oh, no kidding. I didn't know that.
But yeah, Curly used to take me and rehearse me up in the dressing rooms, you know, with his guitar and some of the songs that I was singing. You know, him and my guitar player back in the day, the Abdul Summit.
Unbelievable.
He's in the East Orange Museum now. He's an astrologer, so he's about 100 and some years old.
Wow. Well, you know...
Abdul, his name is on my records, some of my records, and his name is going to be in my book when I write it.
Wow. Well, you know, what's really funny is that, you know, recently I did some shows with the Coasters. J.T. Carter actually asked me to go sing first tenor with him at a couple of shows, and it was Jane the Americans with the new Jay, the new kid, and it was... you know, the Coasters with Carl Jr. And Curly had me in the back in the dressing room, and he's got his guitar, and he's saying, you know this tune, right, man? And I go, yeah. And he says, but listen to it with this chord change. Now, it's the same tune, but listen to it if I throw this chord in, and then if I throw that chord in, and listen, and I'm going, wow. Because I'm a guitar player also. I sat with him probably for like 2.5 hours just listening to him play tunes that I knew, but inserting like different kinds of chord changes in them. And he says, you know,
yeah,
we weren't singing doo-wop, man. We never sang doo-wop. We were singing R&B and jazz. That was it.
Yeah. You know,
we didn't sing doo-wop until somebody told us years later that we were singing doo-wop. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, it's crazy stuff.
Curly did a song called Besa Me Mucho with the Coasters.
Right. Right.
Both the music, he changed it all, everything around for the Coasters to sing it, and it sounds beautiful.
I think they still do it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, Besa Me Mucho, yeah.
Yeah, and they have it on a new CD. Are there any plans for you, Charlie, to go back into the studio and do some more recording?
Yeah, well, they're asking me to go into the studio. You know, a lot of people ask me to go into the studio and do this and do that, you know, But I'm very careful. Like, you know, people that I like used to be in Atlantic, you know, they go out on their own and they come back and try to find the acts that used to be with Atlantic. And I ran into quite a few of them that asked me to come in. And like, some of them, they really know how to get over. But the feel that I got it from Mike and Jerry's Leaping Stroller.
Right.
Them the two weirdest and the best song pickers you can make. Carole King and people like that.
They were geniuses. They were the music business. They probably...
Yeah, they asked me now to go in the studio and try to get me to rap.
Wow.
You know, rapper. I'm not a rapper. I sing rhythm and blues and rock. I'm not a rapper. Okay?
You tell him you rap in between songs, man. My rap is in between songs and then I sing. You know? I mean, that's what I feel. Charlie?
I love to get over rock and roll. I mean, I don't want to turn it loose. And I praise all the people that come and look at us and help me to keep the good old rock and roll alive. You know, that whenever you hear the Charlie Thomas and Drifters around, we sing Drifters. You know, we sing. We made that look like the Temptations or the Prodigals. We sing Drifters. We're Drifters, you know, so...
Well,
come on in and celebrate with us, and I'll try to do the best I can for you and give you all the love.
I have counted every day since you've been away. It seems like a thousand years. I have counted all your lies, all your alibis. I'm a guy, believe just what he hears. And at night, late at night, late at night, I sit and count the tears. She's gone and found somebody new. He may be happy now, but soon he'll be counting every day that she's been away. It'll seem like a thousand years. And then na 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 na. He'll sit and count his tears. He'll sit and count his tears. He'll sit and count his tears. He'll sit and count his tears.
I'm sure that when people go, for instance, to the show in Rhode Island, which is coming up in May, when they go and they sit there, it's pretty easy to take them back. And you have so many great tunes to choose from. I mean, basically, when you go in and you do a show with a couple of other groups, people could go in. I mean, there are enough Drifters tunes to sing all night. And people just, they don't get tired of it because you go from one song to the next. Because I've seen it with my own eyes. And Drifters are so much a part of Americana that it's a home run every time.
Yeah, well, we are American.
You know.
They come to me and ask me to move, you know, over across the water there. Just move over. They're going to buy me a house and get me automobiles and all that. I told them, no, thank you.
I'm sure you can.
But the offer, I get so many offers to get out of where I live at. Uh-huh. You know, but no, I'm here. I got my son, my kids, and I'm right here, and this is where we're going to stay.
I understand. I talk to Earl Carroll all the time. He's still in the same apartment in the Bronx. Are you kidding? So, and he says, that's where I'm staying, man. You know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, he's got the kid. He's a custodian in the school. So, you know, he's got the kids that
can I say something there?
Sure.
I just wish that some of the young kids would pick up on some good old rock and roll. We need some old Michael Jackson and James Brown and Marilyn Monroe and Elvis Presley. It'd be nice to see some of the young kids, I mean, picking up most of them, that good old rock and roll.
Well, you know, here's something that I always say, and I say it on the radio, and I said it on stage when I was performing, and that is that the younger generations, if they learn anything, they have to understand where their music came from, because basically what grew out of the early 50s, and you go back from, you know, 54, 55 with the Terry Johnsons and the Flamingos and the Dominoes and all of the royalty of R&B, that's where it came from. And there wouldn't have been the Intruders, and there wouldn't have been some of the later on groups. And there wouldn't have been the R&B people of now if it wasn't for you guys that paved the way. And that's the message that they need to learn. You know, whether or not they had great music lawyers way back in the 50s, now the music lawyers control everything. It's a whole different world. But if they learn anything, it's got to be that, you know, you guys were the roots. And if you guys didn't set the tone, there wouldn't be any of this. None of it.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the neighborhood is dressing up to be there too. And we're gonna have a ball just like we always do. When you're hugging with your baby last row in the balcony, well, that's Technicolor and the CinemaScope, a guest out of Hollywood, and the popcorn from the candy stand makes it all seem twice as good. There's always lots of pretty girls with figures they don't try to hide, can compare to the girl sitting by my side.
Saturday night at the movies, who cares what picture you see?
When you're hanging with your baby last row in the balcony.
Young folks out there, hey, turn your hat around, pull your britches up, and come on, do some rock and roll.
No, I agree with you.
I told you.
I agree with you 100%, Charlie.
Hey, Mike.
Well, Charlie, I know how busy you are, and I just want to say that it's been a thrill to talk to you. And the next chance that I get to see you when you guys are down here in Florida, or when Paulette and I are up in New York, we're going to drop in and see you, and I'm going to say hello. And, of course, you know, you're going to be with my old buddies, the Mystics.
Hi, this is Phil Krakalisi of the Mystics. You're listening to the Harmony Street Show with Mike Miller.
I want you to just have a great show that night, and I'm sure you're just going to get out there and wow that audience with a whole lot of drifters.
I'm going to do what I got to do. Amen, Mike.
All right, and it's been great talking to you. Have a great dinner, and I'll talk to you soon, man. Thank you.
God bless you and Harmony Street, Mike.
Thank you very much. Ciao. Thank you so much for joining me this week on the Harmony Street Show. This is Mike Miller. If you want to get in touch with me, it's www.harmonystreet.biz. Take care. Be safe and be well. Bye now.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? And what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions. Rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told, and some choose to believe it. I know there's a wrong, wait and see. Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection. The lovers, the dreamers, and me. Who said that every wish would be heard and answered when wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it. Look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us glazing? And what do we think we might see? Someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers, the dreamers, and me.